Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Zozo, how are you?
Hello, G. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good, thank you. I've had such a lovely week without Gigi.
This is the type of honest parenting that I love about you. Now, talk us through it. Where's she gone?
So she's gone to stay with my mum and dad for more than a few nights. It sort of just came from the fact that we were seeing each other this week to do some work. And yeah. It does take me a 3-hour round trip. Basically, if I drop her to my parents. So my mum was like, listen, I'm not doing anything this week. You've got loads to do at home. Like, I've got loads of clothes to put away in my wardrobes, you know, all just stuff like that. She was like, I'll just have her. And it means that the, you know, the 9 till 3 that Axel's at school, then you can get on with things. And it's so nice.
Anybody listening to this that is turning green with envy right now, I am also the colour of the trees currently, because this is the one thing that I really, really miss about not having my mum, you know, living in the UK, because there's only a certain amount of people that you can actually be like, bye-bye, see you in 5 days. And your mum is one of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. And also just, I don't have to like prep loads, you know what I mean? Yeah. I just have to pack some clothes and my mum has everything else like there. I mean, probably wouldn't really need to pack clothes for her. She's got everything there. I just basically hand her over.
Oh, and it is. Georgia.
And do you know what? Not in a selfish way, but Axel also needed some one-to-one time.
Absolutely. Cool.
And I think him starting school, he's absolutely shattered when he gets back. And I feel a bit bad sometimes that he just goes and plonks himself in front of the TV. Gigi's quite full on, you know, she's at a full on age where she requires a lot of attention. So I think he's really enjoyed having a bit of extra time as well.
Yeah, and also, mate, listen, we always talk about this, and especially on Made by Mamas, that there isn't any judgment about what sort of parenting you're doing. You've been at home with Gigi for like the last year. You haven't had any time just with Axel one-on-one, or like, to be honest, not having a tiny baby around. And you know, if you've got a parent who wants to support and look after you and look after her, then go for it. Brilliant.
Yes, exactly. What have you been up to, Zoe?
Well, I had a really nice week this week because I had a shoot from home, the new COVID way, but it was for Asda Tickled Pink campaign. So basically Asda's campaign around breast cancer. I did it about 8 years ago, but this time we were shooting from home. Me and Ashley Roberts are doing the campaign together. So we were both there, but obviously from our own houses, like doing it over Zoom. And then we had to like set everything up in the house. And like, I had to do like cutaways of me pouring like a little cup of tea and getting my biscuits out and stuff. And I was just call me James Cameron. Do you know what I mean? Like, absolutely no bit. I've got a shaky hand. So that was quite fun. And then, do you know what? For me, it's just really nice to be able to have the time to, you know, do some bits and pieces on Made by Mamas, send lots of emails, but pottering around at home, just, I haven't had it for like 3 months. So
it's what I was going to say. You've been really full on, haven't you? It's probably nice to be in the house sometimes by yourself.
Yeah, it's lovely. And Kit and Luna are obviously doing Wednesday mornings and Friday mornings together. Obviously, Luna's there every day.
Oh my gosh, yeah. How is it?
Last week.
Oh, yes. How's he finding it?
Literally marched in like, bye, mummy. Didn't look back, held Luna's hand. Really, really loved it. It was really funny actually, because I got a phone call from the preschool being like, hi Zoe. I was like, oh, hi Ali. Yeah, I'm just in the hairdresser to get my hair done actually. And she was like, right, where's Kit's bag with the nappies? And I was like, I left them for Dozer to bring in. I left them both by the front door. And she was like, okay, great, we'll be here then. And I was like, yeah, it's a black bag. She was like, I can't find it. I was like, oh, give me a second. So I called him. I was like, tell me you took both the bags in. He went, No, just Luna's. I was like, they don't have nappies there, does. So we've done a massive poo and he was basically walking around going to the other children. I've done a massive log. I was like, your dad has taught you how to say, stop saying that. And I was like, Dozzy, you've got to go back and drop some nappies. So basically that was the drama for his first morning. No nappies.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
I've done a massive log.
That would be in his life. Oh, and how are they when they get back? Are they shattered?
Yeah, knackered. We've had a really good run of things with Luna. I bought her these lights. I'm gonna post them in some stories and do a swipe up because I'm not sure whether it's the lights or whether she's just really stimulated and exhausted from school, so she's just sleeping. But we've just had last night was the fifth night of her sleeping through till 6:45.
Oh, that's good. That's really good.
Now I don't want to jinx it.
Touch wood. I'm touching wood.
But I reckon it's these. I've bought these fairy lights, which I'm hanging in the room, so they're like really low, really dim, but really warm. So she doesn't feel frightened. She's not waking up scared anymore.
Yeah. See, Axel's the opposite to that. He cannot have a tiny little bit of light. Like his room has to be completely black. Like completely any teeny bit of light and he wakes up.
Have you got blackout blinds?
Yeah, of course. And that's why his room is so like painted so dark as well.
Just keep him in his little man cave.
Yeah, I mean basically, yeah, that's how we're decorating the kids' room, like for optimum sleep.
Brilliant. Listen, today's Q&A is going to be based around kind of following on, I guess, from Tuesday's episode. We had the wonderful Dr. Amanda Gummer on the show, and she was our child developmental expert. We did that in association with Osmo, where we were talking all around children's play and the importance of play and the different types of play that you can do with your kids. So we thought we'd throw it out to you guys to send in your questions around that subject.
Yeah, should we just jump straight into the questions?
Let's do it.
Right, so here we go. Ideas on how to keep a 13-month-old entertained.
Wow. Well, that's Gigi.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's pretty much Gigi's almost 14 months, I think. And I did post this on Instagram the other day. She has got toys, like there's some great toys out there that she loves playing with. So we've got a leapfrog, like little ice cream cart, which she loves playing with. But you know what? I give her a sandwich bag with some blocks in it. We take it everywhere with us, to restaurants, to, you know, wherever we are. And she loves just emptying them all out and then putting them back in again. So I just think anything like that, you know, just a bit like little bricks, little puzzles, anything with like, you know, little bits that they can empty in and out. I think that they just love that kind of thing, don't they?
Yeah, I think at that age as well, they're really into the repetition of it. Like I remember Kit basically spending all day just taking blocks out of a pot into the pot. So I think anything that's kind of, you know, feels nice in their hands. So they like, you know, we did a whole episode on this with like messy play. Obviously at 13 months, they're probably still putting their things in their mouth. So you struggled a little bit with that with Gigi, didn't you?
Yeah, you can do it like with pasta, things that are edible, and also like cereals.
Yes.
Like you can make sand from cereal. Like if you just buy like some basic cereal from the supermarket, put it in a blender, blend it all up, then you can make a little sand pit in a tray.
And with
then it
Cheerios.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly. And then it doesn't matter if they put it in their mouth because it's not, you know, it's not going to be bad if they swallow it. So there's so many things, but also at 13 months old, everything is interesting. Like some saucepans and a wooden spoon is really interesting.
I like to call those the non-toy toys. You know, if you're doing, you know, whatever you're doing, cooking in the kitchen, whatever, you just plonk them on the floor and they just bash a saucepan with a wooden spoon. They're happy for hours. Okay, so how often to buy new toys? Sometimes I worry that my little girl has outgrown all of hers. That is from M. Okay, listen, I just want to jump on here because I'm a real advocate for buying secondhand toys and regifting and recycling, upcycling. Like I get loads, I guess 90% of my toys I get from either Facebook Marketplace or I'll be like, you know, used toys on eBay and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just think that we spend fortunes and there's so much pressure on us to like, you know, stimulate them all the time and to get this latest toy. And you see the adverts and they're like, I want that, I want that, I want that. And I just think there's something really lovely about, you know, giving the toys a wash down, taking them down to the local charity shop and then filling up a basket with stuff that you find down there. Because let's be honest, they're really interested by by new things, you know, so everything is interesting at that stage. So if you do like employee rotation, that's quite a good idea. We've got like a little garage space where I sometimes put toys out in there, and then after every sort of few months I switch them up and bring the ones from the garage into the playroom, and then, you know, do that in a circular motion basically.
Yeah, I do the same. We've got some boxes in our loft and we swap them over so that Axel doesn't get bored with things. And also as well, like realistically, they don't, a lot of toys don't last that long. They don't, they're not interested in them for that long. So then they move on to the next thing. So when you take them to a charity shop or you pass them on to someone else, they end up being like new anyway, because it's not, it's very rare that they get completely worn out, is it?
Yeah.
So, yes.
Great. Great. There we go.
When is a good age to start introducing screen time, or what deems it acceptable? screen time as in TV. I mean, oh gosh, there's like baby TV, isn't there? I think I was, I had the TV on in the background from like when Axel was really young, like really, really young. And sometimes just the music they like, it's the, it's sensory as well. You know, if you put baby TV on, there's lots of stuff, which is like quite sort of engaging for them. But in terms of an iPad, I remember exactly when we started using an iPad. We were going on a long haul flight and we got our old iPad and got one of those big blue cases that go around it. You know, the big rubber ones you can literally throw across the room and it doesn't break. And we downloaded loads of like, Paw Patrol and all that kind of stuff on there. Axel wasn't two at this point. He would have been probably like 19 months around that age. And that holiday, that iPad was the savior. That was the thing that allowed us to
have a holiday.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, like we say with screen time, it's all about balance. You know what? There isn't right or wrong about how many, you know, how long your child should spend on a screen per week. I don't think. I think, like everything, you make it work to your family. And there's no guilt around giving your child screen time. It enables you to go out and have a meal. It enables you to sit around, you know, if you're on holiday and just, you know, if we ever get there again, and just sit in the sun for an hour, you know, it enables you to do those things. You can't, for me, it's, they are stimulated so much throughout the day. I think it's quite good to have a little bit of downtime where they just zone out, like us. Like, how great is it in the evening when you can just put your comfies on, have a glass of wine, and watch Netflix? You
know, exactly.
They're just mini humans. I think if your child is spending every hour of the day on the screen, then maybe have a think about it. I definitely think with Luna, that the more phone screen time she has, the worse behaved she is.
Monitor the behavior, because there are certain TV shows, for instance, that if we were letting Axel watch, like, I can't think, it was like Power Rangers or something like that, his behavior after was really bad, whereas he could watch 2 hours of CBeebies and actually he might come off of that and tell us loads of stuff that he's learned. So I think it's all about how they behave, and it's just using screen time in a positive way. There's loads and loads and loads of really good apps, really interesting YouTube videos. There's loads of stuff on there that's actually really positive.
Yeah, because Melissa's question kind of leads on to that, is that how bad actually is screen time? I feel so guilty every time I put it on. Melissa, hopefully we've answered that for you. Please let go of the guilt. I think actually we live in 2020. They are going to grow up with screens around them. They do need to know how to operate phones, iPads, computers eventually. So I think, you know, if you're in charge of it and it's not controlling them, you're controlling it. I think it's absolutely fine, me personally. But
yes, no, I completely agree, though. Yeah. Completely agree.
Right, do you want to take the next one?
Yeah, activities for crawling babies that want to stand all the time. I'm so worried about her falling.
Oh,
this is hard, because when they start crawling, it is a case of kind of baby-proofing your house to a certain extent. I mean, there's some little soft play bits you can get on Amazon, so you could almost create a little cozy corner where there's like, you know, a few little mats and like little things they can climb on where they're not going to hurt themselves. But ultimately, I don't know if you agree, Zoe, they kind of need to learn those boundaries and learn a little bit by themselves of what is dangerous. So, yeah, obviously we have stair gates, but I wouldn't object if we were somewhere else, if there was three stairs, to a baby climbing up three stairs if you're there. to like, you know, to watch them.
Yeah, I like that. And I really like the idea of doing a cozy corner. I think for us, we used, you know, they love when they're starting to pull themselves up. They love pulling themselves up onto the side of the sofa. You know, they use the edge of the sofa, don't they? And then they walk around and get some of the cushions on the floor and kind of create a space where your little one is safe to fall over. So they can then kind of fall over in the right way. Look, I've got two of my friends who've had a little girl, and I understand it, first child, there's no judgment here, but I'm like, come and sit down. No, we can't, in case she falls. I'm like, you're gonna have to let her fall over a little bit. So I guess it's just about making sure that when she falls, when your little one falls, then they're not going to really hurt themselves.
Yeah, exactly. But ultimately, they are going to fall, and it will happen, and accidents do happen. So definitely, you know, just it's a balance, isn't it?
So we'll be back right after this.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome back. Now, where were we?
Louisa, any after-school ideas other than TV or iPads? Yeah, I think Georgia and I have probably got loads, actually. One thing that's been really successful in our house recently is I bought a load of Polly Pockets from Facebook Marketplace. And I also bought these little, like tiny little dolls and like loads of Barbies. And I mean, I did like bought like a Barbie bundle, which I think new would have cost like 200 quid. And they cost me about 40. And the girls have taken them up to their bedroom. And we've got a Google Home player in their room. And I kind of leave them to their own devices. But I find them playing with all of those. They've got like a little car and a little hair salon, and they're playing music. So I'm encouraging them to play independently, I guess, if they've got any more energy in them.
Yeah, I think it's similar with Axel, really. He's got this little box called a Tony box. He got it for Christmas, and it's essentially like a little sort of player, audio player, and you buy characters to go on top. So he's got like the Gruffalo, the Stick Man, he's got the Lion King, and they just put these little characters on top, and it sings songs, reads stories, play games. And he loves just going up to his room and just chilling out. And then he probably like plays around with a few little things in his room while he's listening, but just like listening to stories. Also, they have that on an Alexa. So if you've got an Alexa, you can ask Alexa to read a story to a child. So you don't have to specifically buy anything, you know, new. Do you know what? They also have Paw Patrol stories on Apple Music. So if you Google, if you search Paw Patrol stories, and they can sit and listen to a Paw Patrol story rather than sitting and watching it.
Yeah. I think it depends on how old your child is as well. We don't know how old this person's child is, but obviously, you know, for the sort of 5-6, we've got into painting stones at the moment, which is like such an inexpensive activity, but basically you can make story stones with them. The girls absolutely love them. Isla's coming up 8, obviously, and she just sits outside and just she's drawing rainbows on them, and you know, like a little boy and a little girl and a flower and then a sun and a sunset. And then she comes in and we pick them out of a box, and then she tells me a story from the story stones that she's painted. Does that make sense? Such a nice idea.
Yeah, it is. I think anything that doesn't revolve around sort of running around and, you know, being really active, I think when they get home from school or preschool, they just want to sort of have a tiny bit of downtime. So yeah, anything chilled, I mean, that's all good for us as well, isn't it?
Yeah,
just chilled and quiet. Car journey activities for a 14-month-year-old. 5 hours in total from Brentwood to Cornwall.
Oh, gosh.
Wowzers.
Monica. You poor thing.
Oh, you're brave. What would I say? 14 months old. You can get those in-car lap trays. They go over the top of their car seats, and they can basically play as they would at home. So you could do the sandwich bag with the bricks, you could do like a little puzzle, you could do, I don't know, they might have a pretend laptop or a pretend phone or anything, you know, so you can actually just use the toys that you would at home on this tray, as long as, I guess, for the driver, it's not too distracting. Because they're probably at 14 months. I mean, maybe some kids will sit and watch something at that age. I'm not sure. I don't think Gigi would. Yeah, I don't think Gigi would.
I think also breaking up the car journey, because remember, they've got such a short, just tiny little brains, tiny little memories. So if you get them out of the car, jiggle them around a bit, make sure they've had a little sort of, if they're walking, a little walk, you know, they can hold your hand and you can go pottering off for 10 minutes somewhere, give them a few snacks, maybe a bit of milk, get them back in the car, and then hopefully they'll go back to sleep.
Loads of snacks.
Kit, if I feed him, he's happy for hours. I just keep handing him more crispies. Okay. Tips for encouraging independent toddler play, please. We've actually talked about this quite a lot. And the episode that we did on Tuesday with Osmo, we obviously had Dr. Amanda on there, and she was saying that being independent and being able to play independently is one of the best gifts that you can give your children. I think it's worked without us even trying so much more with Kit, because he's the third child. So without trying to sound mean, he sort of gets forgotten about sometimes anyway. And then you're like, oh, where's Kit? And he's been up in his room playing with his cars for half an hour and I haven't even noticed. I mean, that sounds awful, doesn't it?
But no,
I
know it doesn't. Absolutely not. Yeah.
But whereas with Luna, I had to encourage it a little bit more. But I think it's one of those ones where if you can set stuff up for them, so let's say that they're into building blocks, and you can put the building blocks into, an open box that they can reach into, and you say, why don't you do some building blocks? And then you step out of the room, like, mummy's just going to be in the kitchen, or mummy's just, you know, if they're doing it in another part of the kitchen, but you're just doing whatever you're doing. And then you can just keep checking on them. But actually, they've got their back to you, so they think they're alone. And I think if you can start encouraging activities like that, I think it's quite a lot to say to a toddler, right, you go on, just crack on, go and play. I think you need to probably set it up for them and then slowly edge out of the room.
Yeah, and also give them a bit of a choice. Like, you could put a couple of little things out and then they can decide what they want to play with. And then also you'll get to know what works for them, like what they actually like playing with independently.
Yeah, agreed.
Any good books, Instagram accounts to follow, or websites to look at?
Well, we love Claire from Play Hooray.
Yeah, she is brilliant. We had her on the podcast, so do go back and have a listen if you haven't already. There's also a book called The 5-Minute Mum by a lady called Daisy Upton. She's on Instagram as well. And I absolutely love this book. It's got so many things in it that you can probably just do without buying anything, like silly things like putting chalk on the floor and then having a race and rubbing it all out with socks.
Amazing.
You know, just silly stuff like that, but actually they're the sort of things that you need to be able to do when it's like raining outside, or it's just you know you can't go anywhere.
Also, another brilliant book is, she's been on the podcast as well, actually, Laura Brand, and her book is called The Joy Journal. And she's basically got so many activities that don't cost a lot to do at home with your children that you might not have thought about. So definitely check her out. She's great online as well for activities. Yeah. Is it bad that I sometimes let my 11-month-old eat in front of the TV and breakfast so I get 5 minutes? Izzy, no.
No way.
Come to us for that as well. Of course, it's not bad. You have permission to do it and you're an absolutely brilliant mum. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, definitely not. And you know what? Like, I quite like sitting watching Good Morning Britain while I'm having my breakfast. So, you know, what's wrong with that?
And here's a confession, Izzy. My children pretty much, I would say 50% of the time, more, I'm lying, 60% of the time they eat in the playroom in front of the telly.
And it doesn't matter, does it?
Well, they're just having a really nice time and they're playing in there. And like, they're absolutely brilliant kids. I mean, whatever. I mean, sometimes we all sit and eat together, but I don't really want to eat my dinner at 5 o'clock. I want to sit and have a glass of wine with my husband. So look, whatever works for you. But no, it's not bad.
Best educational or long-lasting toys for a four-year-old, thinking Christmas gifts. Well, actually, we've just worked with Osmo, and honestly, you know, obviously we've been doing something with them, but since we received the Osmo, Axel has used it every single day. He started off with the Little Genius kit and he absolutely loved that. And it's like making shapes and sort of playing dress up with all different characters, which is great. And then he's just started using the next one, which is called the Genius kit, which is meant to be for slightly older kids. But actually, I think there's not too much difference. And I think if you're going to be there and you can help them, then at 4 years old, they'd be totally fine with it. And he's just loving it. It's really great. It's probably the best thing that we've found using an iPad. And I've downloaded loads of apps. And this is definitely the one that he most looks like, sort of looks forward to using.
Yeah, so, definitely. And also I think it's important to stress at this point that even though we have worked with them, we only ever work with brands that we really, really love. You know, they're like, you know, do you think we could have a partnership here or we could do this? And if it's not something that we really believe in, then we definitely don't work with them. So we really rate the Osmo. I can say it for Luna as well. We've had it set up in the house, and since we've had it in the last week or so, she's been glued to it when she's come back from school. So it's definitely worth investing in.
It's brilliant. What are the toys for 4 years? What have you got, Luna, for her birthday?
Well, it's even though we're kind of gender fluid, aren't we always? But it depends really if your little one's a boy or a girl. Because for Luna this year, all she wanted was, I mean, this is hysterical. She was like, I want to dress up as a policewoman, and I was like, what? And she was like, you know, I want a policewoman's outfit, and I was like, right, yeah, and a baton. She said. So I don't know. I don't know where she's got this from, but I've got her a policewoman's outfit, a mermaid outfit. LOL.
Fancy dress is the cutest.
LOL. She's really, really, really into. And then my mother-in-law has bought her this play shop, which we got from eBay. She's like a secondhand one. You know, the like little shops they can stand behind it. We've got all these wooden vegetables that we found that came with it. So I'm going to give it a nice clean. It's coming later. But she loves role play. So anything like that. So she was like, I'm going to pretend to be in a shop like a policewoman. I was like, this is going to be amazing. I will film this and hopefully this will be incredibly entertaining.
I mean, it's the same for Axel, actually. Like, he loves dressing up. So we've got loads and loads of costumes. But you know what? One thing he got for his birthday, which has been amazing, is the CBeebies magazine subscription. And it comes every Friday in the post. And he loves it. It has his name on it. And the CBeebies magazine is actually really, really educational, but then also fun for them. They notice, they see all the characters that they watch. Sometimes there'll be like a painting thing in there, sometimes it'll be a toy. It's just really nice. I dread it when we're in the supermarket and he goes, can I have a magazine? And you think, oh gosh, she's gonna pick like the worst one just for the toy. But actually getting it in the post now gets me out of that, because I say it's coming in the post on Friday. And he looks forward to getting it, so that's a good one.
Now Joe's just sent us a question: messy play ideas for a one-year-old. We did a podcast with Claire from Play Hooray, and it was fantastic. She is literally the queen when it comes to messy play ideas. And she really talked us through the importance of it as well. Sensory play, messy play, really not worrying, because I think half the time with Luna I was so worried about like, oh no, you're getting mess everywhere and da da da, and then for ages she was obsessed with having mess on her hands, and I was like, I've done that with you. So this time around with Kit, I just strip him off completely naked and I just let him paint everything outside, you know, or we kind of go out in full wet gears and he just jumps around in the mud and splashes, because that in itself is messy play.
Yeah, exactly. Anything with water or mud is messy play, and they love it. Like they do. You know what? Someone said to me the other day that her mum used to let her kids go into her garden, and all she used to give them was a teaspoon and a tiny kid's fork, and they would literally be out there for hours digging mud with a teaspoon.
Yeah, great idea. But
yeah, like they love it. So yeah, you don't. I don't think you have to think too much into messy play.
Yeah,
you just got to let go and let them get messy, which I find difficult as well. So
I think anything, like Georgia said, anything with the water as well. Like if you've got any sort of big trays or big Tupperware in the cupboard, to put them outside, sit them on the floor with warm water, and you put some, you know, some soap that's not going to upset their eyes or hands. Well, you know, we use Sanex because that doesn't seem to affect them. And then they just splash around.
Yeah, splash exactly. Around, yeah.
Well, what should you do if your one-year-old seems more interested in playing by himself than with you?
Oh, I had this with Axel. I still have this with Axel. Do you know what? I think some kids do like playing by themselves, and it's actually a credit to you that he feels so, you know, comfortable in his own skin already, that he enjoys playing independently. And ultimately, like we say, what we're doing is trying to raise our children to be independent and to be great adults. So, like, let him play by himself, and then maybe try, you know, now and again to find things that you like doing together, because it will come, it absolutely will come. He's probably just trying to find, you know, he's got a bit of independence. He's probably just trying to sort of make his mark on the world, I guess, and try, you know, trying to figure out things for himself. I think it's incredible if they can do that.
I do. I mean, obviously you can tell in that emotionally you can tell that, I think her name's JC, has messaged saying, you know, she probably wants a bit more from him. But you know what? That will come. They go through these really weird phases and these funks where they don't want to be anywhere near you for a few months, and then they'll come back to you. I feel like that with Kit. I know that Luna's always going to be glued to me with Kit. Sometimes he just looks at me and he's like, don't want mummy. I'm like, oh my God, you've actually broken my heart. But then, you know, he kisses me like he doesn't ever want to let go, so it's fine. Simple painting ideas. I have all the gear and no idea. Brilliant.
Oh, we've all been there, haven't we? We go off to Hobbycraft or wherever you go, get all the stuff, you get home and you think, right, crap, what do I do now? I do this all the time.
My favourite is, what can I say my favourite, because I've got two favourites. My favourite is potato painting. We do it all the time, where we just literally cut a potato in half, cut a cross out, get little pots, you know, squirt the paint out into your little pots, or we use Tupperwares, and then get them to dunk the potatoes in, and we do potato printing, which they absolutely love. And the other one, when I'm feeling really relaxed, is hand painting and feet painting. And I just put them outside, I let them paint their hands and their feet, and I get them to walk along over. And I know some people's idea of absolute hell, but the kids love it so much. And then
it's actually so good for them to get used to having messy hands, because when Axel first started nursery, I remember they pulled me aside and they said, do you ever do like messy play at home or anything like that? Because he'll never do, you know, where you put your hands in the paint and do the handprint. He won't do that. And I was like, oh yeah, no, I don't. It's definitely, that's a good one.
Also, I saw our nanny doing this the other day, Lucy, lovely Lucy. I couldn't live, she's an absolute legend. She was painting with Kit. She was drawing using the paintbrushes. She was actually doing the outline of the animals. So I saw her do like a big cat, just, you know, it wasn't like she was, you know, Van Gogh, but she was just doing the outline of a cat, and then she was doing the outline of a dog, and then she did the outline of a fish, and she just put them in front of Kit, and Kit was then painting them in, filling them in.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say, you could, if you buy like pre-drawn like pictures, it's much easier for them to start trying to paint that than just giving them a blank piece of paper and they don't know what to do with it. Also, I got some little figures from Amazon. They're like little dinosaurs, and they came with all the paints actually, and Axel was way more interested in painting like a figure of a dinosaur than he would be if I just gave him some paper and paint and said, right, off you go. So I think anything like that, you know, there's like little tote bags you can get to paint. There's all kinds of stuff, isn't there? Paper mache monster things. There's loads and loads of stuff. So I think, yeah, making it a bit more kind of structured painting rather than just free, you know, well, some kids probably like free painting, but mine don't. It's painting something rather than just
a white piece of paint.
Exactly.
I hear you. Right, that's all we've got time for. I can't believe it again. It goes so quickly, doesn't it?
It does. But please do keep your questions and your suggestions for episodes coming, because it's really useful for us to know what you want to hear.
Yes, and as always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And if you please could leave us a little 5-star review, that would be incredible. And also just telling your parent mates about the podcast if they don't know about it. We would just love to spread the word.
Yeah, and please do drop us a message at Made by Mamas or on Zoe's own channel at Zoe Hardman. And we will see you next week.
See you on Tuesday.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.